May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wow, I could literally be here for 2 hours. There's so many things to preach about, but it's interesting, though, because of last week's sermon or gospel and this week's gospel. Last week, if we remember, Nicodemus was seeking out Jesus at nighttime. He was curious and interested, Nicodemus was, about the Lord, but he was scared and confused, but he was still interested, but he was seeking him out at night. Now this week, we have a Samaritan woman. She wasn't exactly seeking out Jesus. She was seeking out water, but she happened to find Jesus, and he asked her for a favor. And it begins from then, from there. But if we think about it just for a minute, Nicodemus is a man, a Pharisee, highly educated, highly respected, and of course, a Jew. The woman at the well, first of all, especially back then, she was a woman. Not good. She was a Samaritan. That was even worse, to be a Samaritan. She was poor. She wasn't very well respected. She had had many lovers. Jews and Samaritans back then, as we learn from the gospel today, they also had no contact. They had no contact. They hated each other. They were forbidden to have contact with each other. But all of this is cleared away through Jesus. Jesus loves Nicodemus. Jesus loves the Samaritan woman. Jesus also knew that it was not God's law or will to have people not have contact or for people to be arguing and hating each other. Jesus came for reconciliation. Jesus came to bring all people together as one through himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came to bring every single person in his creation back to God. That was Jesus' mission. That was his love. That was his will. And that is our salvation. Each and every one of us is special to God. And when we look at each other, we are to look at each other through the eyes of Jesus. That's our mission, if we are faithful to the Lord. Now, one similarity between Nicodemus and the woman was that they were both thinking very literally. It's either black or white. They weren't thinking past that. Remember, Nicodemus was thinking in terms of being born again. Well, how can somebody go back into their mother's womb? That was a literal translation. For the woman, she gets involved with the water, thinking, water? Water that I'll never be thirsty again? Well, I want that water because then I don't have to be bothered with going to the well. Well, that's a literal translation. But Jesus' water is in addition to the water that she was drinking at the well. What interested me was how she didn't ask, well, who are you that you would say that right off the bat? What does she say first off? She says, well, you don't have a bucket. How are you going to get the water anyway? Well, I guess if we think about it, Jesus Christ himself is the bucket. He didn't need one. But living water is not so that she or all of us don't have to drink water anymore. It's not that we don't have to go to the well for water. Living water is Jesus. It's faith in him, trust in the Lord, knowledge, wanting to know more about Jesus, having a relationship with him. And that takes effort. Living water is a commitment, a devotion. It's when we have peace and joy and love and tolerance and patience in our lives for ourselves and for others. Living water gives us eternal life. It gives us reconciliation between one another and between God Almighty, the Creator of all. Both Nicodemus and the woman, they were interested. They were very curious. The woman even kind of questions Jesus about his ability. She says, "Well, are you greater than Jacob? How can you do all this?" Well, how did Jesus respond? This gives us a clue how we're to respond. He didn't get offended. He was very confident in a pure and holy way. He didn't get offended. He wasn't insulted. He didn't look down on her like, "Well, you're ignorant. You don't know." He didn't have an attitude. He was patient. He was loving. And he let her know that he was different. How? Because he told her all about her life. Well, she was impressed. Didn't take much, but she was impressed. And so she says to him, "Well, you're a prophet." So she's on the right track. She's getting the hint, but she's not quite there yet. But she was definitely on the right track. So she questions him more. She says, "Well, you know, the old ways, the way we used to worship, which we still kind of do now once in a while, was we used to worship this way and that way. And Jesus had given her new ways to worship." And in fact, she says to him, "Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you said that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." But then Jesus adds to that. He says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." God is not in one particular spot. God is everywhere. And so she says, "Well, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, don't worry, he's going to explain all things to us." And then here comes the clincher. Jesus says to her, "Well, I am he. I am the Messiah." Can you imagine what she thought at that point? Can you imagine that happening to yourself? You know, think about it. Imagine it. That's a big moment. So what happens? Exactly what should happen to us when we meet Jesus, the Messiah, face to face in a metaphorical way. She returned home and she told everybody about him. She didn't say, "Well, I went and got water. Oh, it was hot. I was tired. I'm bored." No. She got home after her trip and she told everybody about the Lord. So if we think about it, actually, Nicodemus and the woman represent harvest. And that's at the end of towards the end of our gospel. And the harvest that Jesus discusses with his disciples is all about the need of people. Those who are curious, those who are confused, those who are interested, those who are searching, those who are questioning. And also the need of his disciples, including us, to pay attention and answer the questions. Show people who Jesus is through our own actions. Tell people about the Lord. Bring others to Jesus Christ. Then, like the woman who brought people to Jesus, the people that we talk about, or we share, or we bring, or we invite, those people will suddenly believe in Jesus, not because of what we say, but because of what Jesus does for them, and how they personally are changed by our Lord when they meet him. For ourselves, we are to take time out. We are to make time for Jesus. We are to know him, love him, share him. We are to share God and what he has done for us and the entire world through our Lord and Savior. We are to be like Nicodemus. We are to be like the woman at the well. But mostly we're to be like Jesus, desiring ourselves personally and for all people to be reconciled to one another and to be reconciled to God. That is our salvation. That is the living water of Christ. That's actually living with Jesus. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that our hearts are not hardened, that our hearts are open and vulnerable to you, so that we can learn how to love one another, how to love you, and how to serve you, so that ourselves personally and all people will receive eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.